seeing what's happened and how Bitcoin has reached all-time highs before the halving, where will that take us? That's a fun question that everybody has on their mind. Where will Bitcoin be in 2025?
So I saw numbers saying that, not numbers, it was what the amount of X's Bitcoin typically does. I'm not going to go to the 2012 one because there was too many X's, but it dramatically got cut down. Then the one after 2016 was, I'm going to give a number like 12, 13X. Then the one that followed was cut down in half of that. But of course, price continued to skyrocket. This Bitcoin happening, if it does what it normal prior price was like 6X. Or like, I think it was 6x, 10x, something like that. It were estimated, plus, you know, Fibonacci's and everything else, like analysis-wise. It should be a... Welcome back
to another week
of your favorite crypto podcast.
Sometimes Crypto.
The Unscripted.
Crypto Podcast.
Hey, ayo. Yo! Everyone will obviously, we're going to get this out the way. You will notice we are not in the same vicinity. We're in different.
We're remote.
Background.
We're subscribing to the whole Web3 culture and doing things remotely now. That's not true. William just left me. He's got tired of being in the same room.
I did. And it may this option may be worse than being physically with him.
It's surprising, right?
Not at all.
Yeah.
So we already had our first little debacle.
Yeah. It's just a little headache. So it takes you got.
That haven't happened in ages.
In a while. We haven't had that issue in a minute. But it's been a hell of a week because you know the event. The event that took place, it happened.
The halving happened. And we're no longer producing 6. What was it? 6.1 Bitcoin?
2.5.
So we're now producing 3.125. If I'm 3.1. Not mistaken.
That is correct. That's math. That's mathematical.
Big brain over here. Big brain.
Yep. The halving took place a whole day before people anticipated it to.
Not a day. We went through this.
A whole date difference.
Yeah, it was a different date. But like you said in the prior episode that it was gonna be, it was much closer than what we really thought. It was a couple of hours of difference. Yeah. The only thing happened this time though, it happened like at 10 o'clock. Like it was much earlier in the.
Yeah, it did happen pretty early. Like at 9 actually, I think. So essentially, the first original expected date for the halving was April 20th, 2024, and it ended up being on April 19th, 2024.
Yeah, I'm sure some people got it on 420.
Yeah, you know, possibly.
Yeah, pretty sure. Asia.
419. Yeah. Possibly.
Asia would have probably gotten in 420. Hawaii would have gotten. No, Hawaii's behind now.
Hawaii's
anyone
behind,
forward?
Yeah.
Anyone
like Japan
forward got it. Huh?
Japan
got it. Asian
probably,
markets.
Yeah. That sounds about right. Yeah, you're right. You know, I didn't even think of that about that, William. Time zones.
Yeah, there's people in the future, right now. There's people right now who are in the future of us.
Oh, I see. See. All right. Is there any
Asian
way
market
to
woke up?
Yeah, Asian market woke up right now, recently.
Yeah, I think I'm not gonna say Australia, but I know Asian market woke up. Not the point. Irregardless.
So that halving block 840,000 was quite eventful. Mostly, well, because of the halving event.
I don't know about an issue.
Yeah, where the block reward got cut in half, but additionally, fees went up like crazy for that block.
Yeah, bro. People are trying to get it accepted.
Of
Not
course,
even a joke.
It's a whole. Yeah. It's literally going to be like a historical artifact.
Locked. Yeah. So I don't know if you saw it, but I saw this. If I'm not mistaken, it was block 840. The fee that was paid to be in that block was $799,000.
Total? That's crazy.
Yeah.
$799,000 for that block is That's wild.
Yeah. Absurd.
Whoever mined that block made a bunch of money.
Oh, yeah.
Way more than whatever the block reward was, for sure.
Yeah, way more.
Oh,
way,
wow.
Way more.
Yeah. So essentially, people were just trying to add their transactions to that block. So they were paying astronomical fees to try to prioritize their transaction.
It was literally like the same way people were trying to buy those, I think we brought up on a podcast, like people buying expensive NFTs and that maybe they hold value, maybe they don't. Same idea.
Kind of.
But this one's even worse.
Yeah.
this was even worse because there's nothing you can do with that block. Like,
you could leave like a historical message. You could
tell that's someone, it.
Yeah, that's about it. Tell you could tell your loved one that you love them on that block.
That's what's up. You're right. I'll give you that. I'm not gonna.
And then in 100 years from now, when someone decides to look at all the halving blocks at the very last halving, you'd be like, oh, this is every halving, and then every transaction on the halving. They see your transaction.
It's gonna be funny how we went from the first halving, like penis, mm-hmm. to the current halving to say I love you, mom. To the last one saying we're doomed. Could you imagine?
The history of the messages.
The hit, bro.
Yeah, yeah. It's quite eventful. It's an interesting concept, actually, seeing how we know exactly when each happening takes place in terms of block height.
Respectfully, yeah. In terms of block height.
In terms of block height, we know it definitively.
Yeah.
Date-wise,
I meant date.
Yeah, date-wise, a little bit different, but then that could be like kind of extrapolated. Anyways, it's recorded. Someone out there knows.
Yeah. I had a thought. Oh, I remembered. We're the parabolic phase is here.
That parabolic phase is upon us.
Is should be coming.
Yeah. Fun times await. So it's essentially what you're referring to, I guess, is that the fact that Bitcoin usually starts to see its bull run start after this event.
Yeah.
And we've already been seeing a bit of a bull run, seeing what's happened and how Bitcoin has reached all-time highs before the halving. Where will that take us? That's a fun question that everybody has on their mind. Where will Bitcoin be in 2025?
So I saw numbers saying that, not numbers, it was what the amount of X's Bitcoin typically does. I'm not going to go to the 2012 one because there was too many X's, but it dramatically got cut down. Then the one after 2016 was, I'm going to give a number like 12, 13X. Then the one that followed was cut down in half of that. But of course, price continued to skyrocket.
Yeah.
So this Bitcoin happening, if it does what it normal... So the last one was like from its prior price was like 6x, or like I think it was 6x, 10x, something like that. It were estimated plus, you know, Fibonacci's and everything else, like analysis wise, it should be a people are saying 3 to 5x.
2.5 to 3x. Yeah,
2.5x.
2.5 was what I saw somewhere. I remember hearing 2.5, like on. 2 as a conservative one, but then 5 is where I see people like just kind of like putting the range at.
I will also say, because we've been very vocal, at least I've been very vocal on this podcast, saying we do have ETFs.
I was just about to say that.
That does not mean that we should necessarily have to have that sell-off. We always do.
Oh, you're talking about the dip specifically.
I'm not even talking about. I'm also talking about parabolically. It doesn't necessarily have to stop at 2x, 5x, 10x.
Yeah,
it could just continue forever.
It could just continue forever.
Again, as you can tell, forever in the sense of it will only go up for the rest of its life.
We're straight degens over here.
The price will obviously dip down.
Yeah, but there's obviously going to be corrections.
I wouldn't call them corrections.
What would you call them? Pullbacks?
Great buying opportunities.
Great buying opportunities. I suppose you're not wrong on that said. But Yeah, seeing how ETFs are here, I think we will definitely be we have the potential to see a higher multiples this time than anticipated. Like, yes. Everyone knows, Bitcoin's been super volatile because of its lack of availability to the masses. Because so little people had Bitcoin beforehand, it was much more volatile. Yeah. And as time progressed, the volatility kind of went down. And we're still a very volatile asset compared to any other asset in the world.
I'm not going to say that, but I saw the Bitcoin dip from previous peak to where to its bottom.
Mm-hmm.
It went down 77%.
Yeah, that's catastrophic for a lot of people.
So especially
for especially for the people who put their life savings at the peak.
Yeah, no, what I meant by that is I'm like, that's very volatile. There's no, it getting better.
No, like, no, but so volatility has gone down for Bitcoin over time. Compared to the early ages where Bitcoin would go from like dollars to pennies and then
would it go up. I can't speak on that because I wasn't there for it to go see it go from $100 to a dollar. Mm-hmm. That's 99%.
Mm-hmm.
But if you, in my opinion, if you zoom out, going from 68,000 to 77,000, that's still volatile as a mother trucker, no matter how you want to cut the.
Of course. And
that's what I'm saying.
Okay, so then all I'm saying is that although the statement is as people start coming on, that volatility should start to decrease because then there's more players in the market.
I think ETFs this will here. Be the first time. I'm agreeing with you here. I'm saying I think this time we'll truly see Bitcoin reach that more stable point.
There
will be less volatility.
The cliff off would be smaller.
Be much less. Mm-hmm. Look, I'm gonna say it. I think I wasn't here for early on volatility. If we see Bitcoin, for example, reach, throwing numbers out here, ground numbers, 200,000, 100,000 is 50%. I think 100,000 is a safe number to stay at.
Not the 70% back to 69, 60.
I don't think we'll see that. I don't think we'll see that. No. I mean, I'm not gonna say we won't see that, right? I'm not gonna bet my life on it. I will say, I am more in the improbable zone for 70-60% mm-hmm. drawback. Once we get to 200,000,
once we see all time highs.
Yeah, that's what I mean. I think altcoins will still have that. By the way, I think alts will still be as volatile as anyone's mother.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that's going to hold anyone back because we haven't reached, in my opinion, the adoption phase in alts. Not even with ETF, just actual usage to prevent that from happening, in my opinion.
Yeah. Altcoins are still super early game compared to Bitcoin right now. Like, Bitcoin does have a little bit more maturity, seeing how it is being, A, accepted by institutions, and B, being accepted as tender currency in
countries. And other multiple countries. Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm agreeing with you there.
However, so my additional point to that was
going
to
be, I love Windows, however.
Since we're getting more people mm-hmm. onboarded, that might just increase available supply, liquidity into the market. So that kind of cap where people say, since we're seeing a progression in smaller returns after halving from, let's say, 16x, 10x, 10x to 5x,
mm-hmm.
Seeing how we have a lot more people now who might be willing to invest because they didn't know how to invest earlier, now they have the availability and the capital to go in. Maybe those X's kind of go up this time and not down as most people expect. I'm not saying that's what I expect. I don't know what to expect. That's my thing. I don't even know if it's going to go up way more than before or just kind of where the market trends at.
Yeah. I can't say we're holding the $59,000 to $60,000 range. We're holding it.
Yeah, we're holding this
range. I can say that much. We're holding this range. It's been up and down, and it's waiting from here on out. But we're holding this range. I will say that. I can say that. I see that. It's what's happened as of yet.
Yeah. Well, last week, the Bitcoin ETFs have seen great amounts of outflows in general, like all of them. 5 days of straight up outflows, all of them together, like the sum, total sums. And this week we started off strong with seeing inflows again.
Positive
net inflows. Did I say that right, William? Positive net inflows?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
William's a sticker for definitions. He doesn't want me spewing false information or...
it's not false information. You're just not saying accurately.
That's what I mean. He wants me to be as accurate as possible, which I thank him for that. So, positive net inflows. Specifically, yesterday...
Because we can have negative... We can have outflows. Never mind. Ignore me. Continue forward.
Okay. So yesterday we had about $62.2 million. $62.2 million. Yeah. Flow into the ETFs overall. Versus like let's say last April 17th, we had $165 million in net outflows. Which is a huge amount.
When was that?
April 17th.
Mm-hmm. There was $100 million in outflows?
$165 million.
Jesus.
This is according to... Days. This is according to Farside.co.uk. Mm-hmm. They have like a ETF flow site where it just kind of tracks everything for the ETFs.
Yeah. Okay.
But yeah, ETFs are starting to see inflows again, and we could see that price kind of. We could see that like action manifesting in the fact that Bitcoin's price has been going up since they started inflowing more capital into the ETFs. Are you going to say something?
Yeah, you're not wording that right.
I'm not wording that right. Okay.
No.
Well,
because...
What am I saying wrong?
Because the inflows have actually come down.
The total amount of inflows have come down.
Yeah. So there's not as much there's not as much buying of the ETF. The difference is there's less outflows.
Correct. There is a...
So okay,
I see what you mean. I see what you mean.
The reason it matters is because someone who doesn't understand what's going on hears that and goes, oh, we had the same amount of volume and demand from the ETFs.
As before.
Which we don't. It's come down a little bit. That's what I'm trying to say.
I see. Yeah, net inflows are starting to... Are in the
come green. Back up. Yeah.
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 I want to say, like, streaks. BlackRock is on a hell of a streak right now. Straight up inflows. They've only been seeing inflows for the past...
You've had no outflows, right?
Yeah, 69-day streak of inflows.
Jesus.
Which is, that's a quite significant. To only see money coming in for net inflows coming in is quite significant. Granted, they did see money going out, but not more money going out.
They have the least.
What?
They have the least amount of money coming in. Like, they don't...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they have
the majority of all the ETFs, apart from GBTC, only see inflows. I'm sorry if I interrupted you.
No. You're right. You're good. I just didn't understand. I thought you said they have the lease, like a lease. I was like, what are you talking about?
No, like less.
Yeah.
This guy.
I think you mentioned something. It might have been last week or the week before about the GBTC and the IBIT. What was it?
Mm-hmm. Oh, that currently, as you said, IBIT has had the least amount of outflows and a large amount of inflows. So I think it was that last episode, maybe two episodes ago, I mentioned that there's going to be a point where GBTC's outflows, or not even outflows, GBTC and IBIT reach that point of IBIT will surpass GBTC in AUM, just assets under management. So currently, GBTC holds 18.82 billion worth of Bitcoin, and IBIT holds a whopping 17.28 billion worth of Bitcoin.
Wow, That's close. They're practically.
So yeah, probably in like a month or two, we can easily see that flip.
Like actual, like IBIT flip.
IBIT flips GBTC.
GBTC, yeah.
Yeah. Easily.
Yeah, that's and really close.
And what that also does, it really stabilizes the price.
Will it? Because there's less people coming out of a GBTC?
Yeah, it makes the flat tire that GBTC is, like, null and void, basically, at this point.
What do you mean flat tire? Like, GBTC has been seeing too much outflows lately.
GBT's only been seeing outflows.
Yeah.
We know this.
Therefore, dumping the price on the market.
Not dumping the price, meaning the amount of buying pressure is only coming from the ETFs, meaning all the Bitcoin they're really buying,
mm-hmm.
yes, they are buying other Bitcoin, but all the Bitcoin that they're actually buying is coming from the GBTC because they have to go to Coinbase, all the other exchanges. Mm-hmm. The exchange gets refilled. Mm-hmm. IBIT continues buying from there. But they're buying GBTC's Bitcoin. They're all buying. Everyone's at this point is basically
essentially buying they're buying the GBTC Bitcoin, correct?
So at one point, it will stabilize enough to where it's just IBIT holding the majority or a large percentage. And GBT's outflows don't matter because they're no longer the main horse. They start off with $32 billion worth of Bitcoin, if I'm not mistaken, or $26 billion worth of Bitcoin, and it's just been they've lost declining. $10 billion worth of it. Mm-hmm. It's going out to other Bitcoins. It's going to reach a stabilizing point where we're going to be able to see that price now just maybe reach a consistent just up
mm-hmm.
at one point.
Yeah, and then additionally with the halving already. In full effect, there is less Bitcoin.
Yeah, block production.
Yeah, less Bitcoin being minted every day, so less introduction of supply.
Much less.
Yes, exactly half of what was making.
Yeah, but yeah, on some other fun news, moving away from Bitcoin.
Okay.
Just because it's always Bitcoin, Bitcoin, Bitcoin.
It's always Bitcoin, Bitcoin, Bitcoin.
I mean, I wonder why.
Yeah, I mean, this big event just took place, so.
Yeah. Well, I want to bring this up because we brought it up recently. So Solana's congestion is gone now. They fixed it. They added the fix for it.
Nice. Good for Solana.
Right. So this is a tweet from Marty Party on Twitter. He runs his own crypto show, whatever. So he goes, blockchain transactions per hour, April 21st. Who do you think is number one?
Transactions per hour?
Yeah. How much, what's their transaction? How many transactions are they doing per hour?
I'd say probably Solana.
Okay. What's the number you give?
Give me a second.
I want you to look it up. Just give me a number.
No, I'm doing maths. I'm doing maths.
Okay.
140 million.
That's a stupid number.
Okay. My math was not good. What is it?
That's not good math. But, okay. What do you think the second blockchain is with the most transactions per hour?
Doge.
No.
Ethereum.
No, Ethereum's third.
Okay, is it Polygon? Is it a layer 2?
Nope, because you only talk about old coins. Sui.
Sui? Sui's number 2?
Sui's a number 2. Ethereum is 3. Dogecoin is 4th.
Oh, wow.
XRP is 5th. Bitcoin is 6th. Litecoin is 7th. And Moreno is last, 8th.
Interesting. Share that link with me, because that seems fun to look at.
So Solana's doing 9.6 million per hour. The runner up, Sui, as you guys will see, is doing 267,000. ETH is doing 47, and Doge is doing 31, and it just goes down and down and down.
9.6 million per hour is a lot of transactions.
Also, the congestion is gone. I did a transfer today. I sold. I bought and I transferred to another wallet. Took me entirely 1 full minute to do all that.
Yeah. Yeah. I did a token swap the other day. Didn't take me much time at all either.
it took me more time to decide if I wanted to make the transaction or I didn't. But apart from the actual
transaction, that's typically how it should be, no? Like, your decisions on making things is what should be slow and methodical, but then, like, your action to do something has to be fast and precise. So the fact that you could do those transactions quite quickly after giving it some thought shows that there's a lot of potential in this technology, specifically in this case, Alana.
I just want to bring that up because we brought about it last time. We didn't think about it being fixed. So here it is. It's fixed. It's working. I tried it. Zero issues.
That's good for Solana. That's great. It's good.
And
that's
on
good.
Top of that, mm-hmm. I want to talk about something else that Alex unfortunately did not get.
Oh, yeah. I had a couple issues.
He had issues. I don't know how he had issues, but he had issues.
I tend to find issues for some reason.
He does.
I don't look for them. I just find them.
Our fun famous gummy token has been released. It is out.
Gummy is out.
I got plenty of allocations. Alex apparently did not.
I got none. I was supposed to, but I had like a verification email, something going on.
He didn't
on.
Verify his email, and now it's not giving the chance to verify his email. So it's a hot mess there.
Yeah, I'm still trying. I'm still gonna try to get those tokens.
That was so funny.
No promises I can get any though. From the airdrop.
No, but I will say airdrop number 2 is on its way again. Counters back up. Sign up. Do your thing. It's free, a total free airdrop.
It's a total free airdrop, but it's a meme coin. The utility is.
Do you want to know the utility?
Yeah.
CryptoBanter Rand talked about it on a Twitter Spaces the other day. And whether it happens or doesn't happen, I don't know. But it sounds fun. They're getting bombarded by centralized exchange listings. They're on Bing. They're on BingX, Blowfin, obviously, and they're coming to many others. From the looks of it,
I mean, they have a huge following, so I would expect a lot of exchanges to want them.
The Twitter had 60. Their Twitter for Gummy has 60,000 followers when I last saw it, and they were dropped. They dropped. Oh. When it came to the claims, they had 100,000 or 110,000 listed wallets trying to get it, like trying to claim. 110,000 people were trying to claim the token.
110,000 wallets?
Yeah. Let me share my screen, actually, since we're already here, and it's easier to share a screen than tell Marnito to post this.
Share your screen, will you? Share that screen.
I can't share because you're sharing it.
I'm not sharing no screen. What are you talking about?
It says someone else is sharing screen.
Someone else is currently sharing. That's what it says to me, too.
So none of us can share now?
Interesting. Okay. Who the heck is sharing their screen?
I don't know. It's only me and you here.
Yeah, hopefully. Yeah, no, it's not letting me share. Okay, just throw it up. Throw it up, William.
No, I didn't want to throw up, but I was going to do something. Nah, it's not worth throwing up like that. Because I was mainly this. So
technical difficulties.
So many. So the total supply is 1 billion. They currently have 51,000 holders. Do you want to know the market cap for this token?
Yes.
Do you want to guess the market cap for this token first?
51,000 holders. Let me say 10 million? 5 million.
So, you are terrible. So, the fully diluted market cap of Gummy right now is $164 million.
Jeez.
Current price. Currently sitting at 16 cents.
Wow.
They estimate that their next airdrop, because they only dropped 10%, the next airdrop is estimated value when he talked about it was between 30 to another $40 million.
And
additional tokens coming out. Like value, dollar value.
Interesting. It's a big supply.
It's 1 billion.
It's not.
I mean, it's not that it's not a lot. It's not a lot compared to the rest because they also can't mint more. It's no minting here.
Okay. It's fixed supply at 1 billion.
So, do you want to know what the use cases for gum are going to be, Alex?
Yes, I would love to know, William. Please tell me. Please tell me all the use cases that I'm currently missing out on because I don't have this.
So, they're not out yet. So, Crypto Banter ran. He didn't take any money from anyone. He essentially paid to get it done. He spent whatever hundreds of thousands of dollars to do it.
To get this crypto project
to up. To get the gummy token, release, marketing, everything. The community is the one who provides the art for it, everything else. So the goal for Gummy is they're going to create a staking portal for the gummy token itself. There's going to be 3 more airdrops coming related to Gummy.
Okay.
Do you want? I know 2 of them. I think I remember all 3 of them.
You just said that they dropped 10%. Yeah. And that there's another one coming up. Yeah. Is that second one coming up part of the 3 that you're talking about?
No. These are gummy airdrops. This is to get the gummy token itself.
Okay. And then if you're a gummy holder,
you're going to be able to stake gummy once a staking portal for gummy comes out in the next couple of weeks.
Okay.
And I want to say, I'm saying 10%. I could be wrong on the number. I don't remember 100%. It could be 10% of not the supply of just like specific airdrop allocations.
Okay.
I will preface that just in case because I think there could be more than 10% out.
Okay.
So you're gonna be able to stake gummy in the future, ideally, is what they want to do on, to be able to earn 3 tokens.
Yeah, so staked gummy earns 3 different tokens.
Not all at once, but they're gonna be. It gives you allocations to earn these other 3 tokens.
Okay.
From what the way it looks like, once you eat a gummy, what do you get after eating a gummy?
Sugar high.
These are the friendly plant gummies.
Oh, then you.
What do people who eat these consume these things get after eating one of them? Typically,
the munchies.
That's the next airdrop.
Damn. Got it. Munchies. Okay.
After munchies.
So I got to stake some gummies to get some munchies.
To get some munchies.
Heard.
Staking gummy or munchies, or I'm not sure how they're going to do it. That will then give you, from after that, there's going to be another token airdrop. I'm not mistaken, I think it's Blazed.
Okay. Blazed.
I just saw that too. My bubble just popped up. And then the third and final airdrop, not in any specific order, will be retarded.
Because if you eat
too many gummies of those types, what happens? You get retarded. So that's what they want to do. That this, they want to add those other drops.
These people from
Banter.
That's funny.
They made a video and they're like the only people who give their employees gummies. And he gave everyone on the bus gummies.
That's funny.
Yeah. So that's fun. That's cool. The really interesting part is he wants to open it up to other coins and tokens to allow them to reward gummy stakers with their upcoming tokens as well. Meaning an example, if you're staking gummy and there's a certain time period you've been staking gummy and you have a certain amount of gummy. Mm-hmm. And they find you a
like a partnership,
a valuable member of the community. You may get some Sui token, some Sui airdrop from one of their new releases, or maybe a Jupe airdrop if Solana and they want to partner up with them, or some meme coin airdrop from another. They want to work with another meme coin, Tuker,
Tucker Carlson.
Maybe you get some Tuker for staking gummy.
Okay.
So that's the whole thing.
Some Spooderman, maybe.
También. Some Larry Pinky or Larry whatever.
Oh my! This is going down the rabbit hole of the memes.
Of the memes, but yeah. That's gonna be what the utility case will be.
If that's the case, I see gummy being quite powerful in the realm of meme coins.
Now, I wouldn't say just meme coins. They also are, in my opinion, would be one of the first meme coins with an actual YouTube back, but not backed by the YouTube.
True. Yeah, because it they as of right now, no one had to buy to get like the mint. Like, there's no like, oh, send Sol for the airdrop.
No one sent any money. It was a complete free just airdrop. People
work using the crypto banter
bubbles, using signing up to
products
links. Yeah, exactly.
So
there was no funders. There were no founder coins given allocated to no one.
Any coins given to them. Nope. Only whatever they got from participating in, like, let's say banter bubbles.
Same things we did. They had to do banter bubbles. They had to do the Blowfin sign up. They had to do all the same things we did, but they were not given any.
Okay, that's not bad. That's not bad.
They also want to give the Twitter in the future at some point to the community.
Oh, really? That'd be fun.
Yeah, right now it's ran by one of their interns, and they're looking into maybe in the future, once Gubby's more established or whatever, giving it to the community.
That's cool.
Rand's, from what I heard, Rand sees it as the same thing what NFTs were supposed to be, but without the cost.
Yeah, I could see that, because like the thing with the NFT stuff, it's supposed to be like you build a community, but then you had to buy in. There's just like immediate like expected returns on your investment for NFTs. And a lot of NFTs don't really have the community driven aspect as they said it would have been.
Yeah. And like I think the NFTs may get there. We're just not there yet.
Yeah, I agree. Just art drives people to buy things. Look at me. It's like, it's all look at me. Look at this. This is cool.
Yeah.
So people invest in NFTs because of that. But yeah, the Gummy project looks and sounds quite interesting. You actually know a lot more about it than I do.
I think I am more Web3 than you are at this point.
I'm upset that
I'm full degen.
You're full degen. You're straight up full degen.
I'm just full degen.
It's like when you take your a rave baby to their first rave, and then they're like, "Oh, let's go to a 32-hour nonstop rave." It's like that.
And you're like,
the pupil becomes a master.
Yeah. I mean, I got rid of my whiff with like a $3 profit because I bought whiff late, and I'm like, hey, let me buy some gummy.
You got some tendies.
I'm like, let me buy some gummy. I mean, gummy, like whoever got the airdrop made a crazy buck on it.
Yeah, I'm sure. I'm gonna try to find my drops, my claim.
I want you. I hope you get them.
Because I have an account with Banter Bubbles.
It just didn't verify the link.
Yeah.
We should make this a clip and we post it, and hopefully you get the airdrop.
Yeah. Wait, the second you started going off on gummies, I was like, this is definitely clippable. I was like, this sounds clippable. So the whole conversation, gummies. I'm gonna just throw gummies up all over the place.
Alrighty. So moving away, I'm not gonna move away from meme coins yet if this loads. It's not loading, I'll move away from meme coins.
If it loads.
It didn't load. I'm moving away from meme coins.
Okay.
So this is something that will get you and me very upset.
Upset? Because
I read this and it made me upset.
Okay. What is it?
So this is a Cointelegraph article. It happened today. They released it 8 hours ago. Tether vows to freeze assets after Venezuela looks to crypto to bypass oil sanctions.
Wow. That is upsetting.
So I read the article, and I'm not here saying Venezuela is a great country. I'm not here saying that their government's the best people in the world. I am not saying none of that. Zero. Well, what I am saying is it's funny and interesting how this whole Web3 started with no government control, no input of government, rebellion to the government. And then we're trying to use, again, a centralized stable coin.
Well, that is a key factor.
The key factor is a centralized stablecoin is exactly doing what we wanted from crypto, not what we wanted not to happen in crypto.
Correct. Yeah.
And we look at it as like, yeah, it's Venezuela. They're sanctioning a country that already has sanctions. Yeah, it may not be bad right now, but it doesn't necessarily have to stay like that. It can very be easily. It can go down as easily as the trucker movement in Canada, freezing accounts. The trickle down is.
Yeah, one thing leads to the next.
Yeah.
One thing leads to the next. It's definitely upsetting to see such a large crypto entity.
One of the largest.
Making that stance. That's unexpected. Not outside the realm of possibilities, obviously, because A, it's happening. B, because it is a centralized asset manager to a degree. Like, anytime things are centralized, they can have the opportunity to abuse power. In this case, freezing transactions. And not standing true to the nature of blockchain technology, where transactions are decentralized and what's the word? There's a word for it. It's gonna have to come back to me because I can't think about it. And it's just like it is interesting that Tether took that stance.
Yeah, no. I mean, I can see why he did it, because if they don't do it, then they can the U.S. can go after Tether. If they continue to allow them to do it, I see the reasoning. It's upsetting because it is a whole thing of like, I thought the whole thing was this is borderless, this is uncontrollable to a degree, right? Truly non-centralized would be. All I see
with censorship this, resistant.
Though, yeah. All I see with this though is that we now more than ever do need a decentralized
stablecoin. I don't know. I find it hard to have a decentralized stablecoin. Like, that kind of is hard to do, because the person who issues a stablecoin would have to be the person issuing the actual asset.
Unless you were to take it in a Bitcoin standard and make the Bitcoin
gold backing. That's a different case. And I was just thinking about that. Like, unless we get one Bitcoin and then mint out, like, just to use one Bitcoin as a number. One Bitcoin and mint out 100.
You're not able to throw out accurate numbers.
Yeah, by the way. I can't even say math. I was gonna say 100 million, but that's just Satoshi's. A billion XYZ coin, not even XYZ coin, just XYZ. So then billion XYZ will always equal one Bitcoin. But then again, that's just Bitcoin backed.
Satoshis?
Yeah, No. Yeah, Satoshis are 100 million Bitcoin. But yeah, they're just Bitcoin backed.
I think what they're doing, the reason from what I read was the reason they're choosing the dollar is because not the people who they're trading with. Mm-hmm. Are not accepting anything else, from the sounds of it. Like, they're going, very few people are accepting Bitcoin, so they can't really do it. So they have to do it in Tether. But it just sucks that they did that. I mean, I'll make sure to have this article in specific down below, in the link, in the description.
That is interesting.
Yeah, it was upsetting. It was frustrating hearing that.
For sure, I'm sure a lot of people would be upset about that. Well, since we're talking about upsetting things that happens at the national level, a group of hackers known as...
You always come with hacker news.
Why wouldn't I?
I guess.
So there's a group called Cyber Inteligencia SV leaked today some source code, as well as VPN access towards El Salvador's native Bitcoin wallet.
What?
So this group, Cyber Inteligencia SV, leaked the source code for El Salvador's native wallet known as Chivo wallet.
Oh.
Yeah, so all the source code information on how the wallet works was leaked.
Mm-hmm. Jesus.
Yeah, so I'm assuming that Chivo wallet was closed source and not open source. Therefore, because if it was open source, it couldn't be leaked.
It wouldn't matter.
Yeah, exactly. But the thing is, the reason why I would assume it's closed source is because El Salvador holds a lot of user information. So as part of this whole leak, 5.1 million Salvadorans had their information leaked as well.
Stolen as well.
Mm-hmm. I'm not talking about any Bitcoin. No Bitcoin has been stolen.
But the information that they hold from the, like, maybe their, what we consider social security, date of birth, yeah, all those
that's things very like, are out. Yeah. So apparently, the reason why Cyber Inteligencia did this was because they had hacked El Salvador. So it was like they did that separate exploit of the 5.1 million user drop first.
Yeah.
And then they, in that first like announcement, they wanted to talk to the government of El Salvador. And El Salvador never reached out to Cyber Inteligencia. And then today, on April 23rd, Cyber Inteligencia dropped the source code to the Chivo wallet. It has like, oh, you don't want to talk to us? Well, here, we're going to drop more information until, like, trying to, like, get them to talk to each other. Now, what is unclear?
Hackers.
What is unclear is why do they want to talk to the government? What's so important? But yeah, hackers be hacking. They're always trying to find a way to mess around with people's information.
It kind of sucks too, because like it's so hard to to battle hackers.
There's just so many fields of like attack vectors, so many ways someone could have access.
So difficult.
I mean, it also doesn't help that the vast majority of people are unaware about how computer communicates and like. Just having overall good security practices.
Yeah, but it doesn't even matter because at this point in the game, we already have Pegasus 2. So, like, anyone who has the access to Pegasus 2, you're already screwed.
You're already screwed. Remind us what Pegasus 2 is, William.
Do you know what Pegasus 2 is?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Do you know what Pegasus 1 is?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Really?
Pegasus, no.
Okay. So Pegasus is a software that was created. I forgot by what government.
Mm-hmm.
Pegasus 1 essentially was you need to click a link that was sent to you.
Mm-hmm.
And so once you click this... Huh?
Sorry. Continue.
Yeah, but once you click this link, it would give full access to that entire device.
Okay.
Meaning just with that one click of that link in Pegasus 1, you would... Boom, you click it, and they gain full access to your phone, to your device, to wherever you clicked it from. And there's nothing you can do about it. It's, you're hacked. And there's no stopping it. There's nothing, there's no preventing. There's zero.
That's quite powerful.
That's Pegasus 1.
That's Pegasus 1?
That's 1. Pegasus 2 is, they don't need you to click a link.
Oh, okay. I've heard of that. That does sound familiar.
Pegasus 2 is they send you whatever to your specific device.
Mm-hmm.
You just open it. You interact with it in the slightest, and they've gained full access to your device.
Yeah, it's a zero-click exploit.
Yeah,
that's genuine. But William, that was announced last month.
Pegasus 2?
Yeah,
that's years ago. That's like a year ago too now.
Oh, my bad. Correct. Last year. It's been a year. I'm sorry. I do remember hearing about that. I was not familiar with the name. So many terms to remember. But yeah, I was aware of that. I just didn't know what it was called. It was created by the Israeli NSA.
Intelligence.
Mm-hmm.
It's not called the NSA.
They're actually called NSO.
Mossad.
NSO Group Technologies.
Yeah. By their Mossad, I think. Yeah, I'm not mistaken.
Yes.
Yeah, dude. I'm saying there are all those other exploits that are much more difficult and complex, but there's also just these other ones that are created, that anyone gets a hand, they're a hold of those. It's just like, you're screwed. There's nothing you can do about this.
Yeah, well, it looks like it does take advantage of three specific vulnerabilities that I will definitely be looking into Pegasus, because now that's interesting. That's kind of I forgot how scary it was. Thank you for reminding me about it, because yeah,
I live with that in the back of my head every day. I want you to know that. That's why I don't want to ruffle no one's feathers.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. Why. Yeah. Yeah, cybercrime is definitely quite terrifying. Seeing how fairly easy it is to get information that you don't want people to get information to.
No, yeah. It's a whole thing, for sure.
But granted, the only good thing that we can sit on, because it's the same problem that we're facing to protect ourselves from it, is that not a lot of people know how to do it.
No.
So, yeah. So, we could sit careful. Like, thankfully, not a lot of people know. So, like, that means there's less criminals out there who are capable of doing something like this.
Of course.
But then also, that means there's less people capable of defending ourselves from this stuff.
Yeah.
It's kind of like a... Which came first, chicken or the egg type question?
Type of situation?
Yeah, something like that.
You have anything else for us?
Yeah. The messaging app known as Telegram.
Ton Network.
Ton is implemented its Ton.
Ton token. In
Ton Telegram? Token. Yeah, Telegram. So it's originally was called the Telegram Open Network, but now it's known as the Open Network. This is because the SEC back in 2020 did have a dispute with Telegram about how Telegram was the whole owner of the Ton Issuer Inc., which is the organization that issued Ton, and so they violated certain security laws, federal security laws. So then in 2020, Telegram had to pay out a total of $1.2 billion to its investors, as well as a $18.5 million civil penalty for being
good amount of money.
Yeah, it's a good amount of money. So then they had to go through this whole restructuring process, make it more open source, more decentralized. And now they have the native token for Ton, Toncoin.
Ton's actually network. Down right now. I'm waiting for a good buying opportunity on that to buy some more.
Yes. That, of course. I mean, you're always waiting for a good opportunity to buy some more coins.
Yeah, it's near the it's 618 right now, so it's not too far off of a good buying opportunity. Actually, to be clear here.
And then the main use case for Ton is pretty much like a payment system for anyone operating on Telegram. Specifically, Telegram said that any Telegram channel that generates over a trillion views, I remember that has over 1,000 has over 1,000 subscribers.
Jesus, trillion. That's a big number.
No, so my bad. I had read something else that I wrote down. So essentially, Telegram channels generate 1 trillion views a month. Telegram channels. So mind you, Telegram has about 800 million users, which is a good amount of users. But the public channels, or specifically the owners of public channels with 1,000 subscribers, they can receive up to 50% of revenue generated through advertisements displayed on their channel. So essentially, Telegram will show targeted to a degree advertisements to specific channels. Let's say we have a Bitcoin channel and Telegram decides to advertise Coinbase or IBIT, whatever. or GBTC. If our channel has 1,000 subscribers, they will send us 50% of the revenue generated Ton. Yeah.
Gotcha.
And then, I mean, what does this mean for channels or communities on Telegram, that means that, like, now if there's these channel, these forms of payment coming in, that gives, like, channel creators, channel owners, the opportunity to incentivize more interaction on these channels. Because now there's, like, a revenue stream coming in simply by interactions. Which is fun stuff, because if you could communicate and, like, get people talking, you could be like, hey.
Yeah, man.
I don't know what type of, like, structure they would have. But let's say top three, whatever, in this channel will get some ton.
Yeah, some percentage, whatever.
Mm-hmm. Then that creates a community, like,
yeah.
So that's an interesting.
Creates a form of advertise of revenue share within the communities and all that. Mm-hmm. So that's important. Yeah, no, 100%. They've been working on that for a little while now too.
Yeah, and then if someone like decides to like do some type of like exchange for goods and services, you could always just pay on Telegram over time. Which is quite interesting.
Very cool. Very cool stuff.
I could see how Telegram would have some issues with the SEC if they were the sole owner of...
100%.
Yeah.
They would basically be providing their own digital... their own currency.
Yeah. Pretty much making it...
worth actual money.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it would... that would be considered 100% of security.
Yeah. Pretty much. Yeah, yeah.
100% secure. That's that, without a doubt.
So, yeah, that's kicking off on Telegram. And cool. That's sure to stir up excitement within the
community.
Communities. Yeah. People into tech like that. Because I feel like the majority of people who use Telegram are people in crypto or
degenerates.
Yeah, definitely degenerates. For sure, the degenerates of the world, because they're always trying to find innovative ways of doing stuff.
Right.
Good.
You froze?
Yeah. We talked about the ETS. Oh. We talked about El Salvador. Like, we talked about Gummy. Pegasus. I'm surprised you brought up Pegasus. That was a fun.
Well, I think we do one. I got two more things we can talk about before we wrap up, or just this one.
Okay. Let's go. Let's do it.
So, they both start with an F. They both go with T. Their last letter is different. Which one do you want first?
They both start with an F. They both go with T.
Yep. It's FT.
Oh.
One's an exchange, one is an agency for the U.S. government. Which do you want to go with first?
Let's go with the agency for the U.S. government.
Okay. So, the FTC just banned non-compete agreements per More Perfect Union. The Federal Trade Commission has issued the final rulemaking, making it illegal for bosses to make workers sign non-competes in any scenario. And voiding nearly all existing non-competes.
I heard about that. I'm so glad you brought that up, because I saw that and I was like, what? That is crazy.
Bro, people are going to be moving jobs left and right now.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, so this is good for the U.S. economy then?
I think employers might look at it as a bad thing. Employees will definitely look at it as a big plus, because it gives them the ability to leave jobs and go into the same field and get the pay raise they were probably looking for.
Mm-hmm.
What I think employers were going to have a bad thing about is because they don't want the ability to share
trade secrets.
Exactly. So okay, I think they're going to have to look.
Mm-hmm. So I think there's a difference between non-compete and non-disclosure, though. So, like, anything that you created for a specific company...
I'm not talking about that, though.
Yeah, that's intellectual property. That's different.
That's different.
Yeah, okay. Just want to make sure.
Doesn't mean you can't...
You still gained experience from this other job that you could bring over to this new employer, but you just can't make the same code.
You don't necessarily have to, though.
No, of course I understand that. Yeah, I think it's a great plus. I think that the fear, the thing that the employers are kind of worried about, is that their information, their processes, is not going to be transferred out and sent out to other companies.
But they can.
To a degree.
No, to the full degree.
No, not the full degree.
Yeah, you just can't create the same software. Oops, I just kicked the camera again. You won't be able to create the same exact software, but it doesn't mean you can't create the same process to do it.
Yeah, internal processes might get copied. Yeah, definitely. I see it as a plus.
That's what I mean.
I see it as a plus.
I'm not saying it's not a plus. I'm not saying it's not a plus. I'm just saying I can see why they would want that in place.
Oh, okay. Yeah, for sure.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, for sure. And definitely, 100% employers a plus. Will be like, oh, no, this is bad for business.
Yeah, no, it's 100% a plus. It gives everyone the freedom to leave the jobs they want to leave and stay in the same industry.
Or be like, look, I don't want to
leave. Or create their
own
company.
Or say that they don't want to leave, that they like working with this company, and that they are getting better offers. They should deserve to get a pay raise.
Yeah, but that's the, in my opinion, would be the least likely scenario.
That's the least likely scenario.
In my opinion. I it would be more so people who want to leave or start the same business.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way I think.
That's quite interesting.
Yeah.
So no more non-competes.
Mm-mm.
Exciting.
And yeah, no, it's going to be good stuff for, it's good stuff for the market. All the comments on it are super positive.
Doesn't that clear you up, William? Didn't you have a non-compete?
Yeah, I did. Not anymore.
That's funny.
I literally texted my coworker that today. I'm like, you can leave now. We got non-competes. Let's do it.
You're like, that's funny.
I was like, let's go for it, maybe.
Okay, now tell me what's up with this FTX situation.
So you can go ahead and wrap up on this. Right. Just before we do this final article. Like, subscribe, share, follow, hit the notification bell.
Comment.
We're replying to comments, so you better get on that.
Yeah, we are replying to comments. You got
one today. I haven't had
attention.
What's up, go for it.
There's
one today I haven't had a chance to reply to just because I wasn't sure what to reply to. I'm coming for you. It wasn't even a bad comment. I'm just coming for you.
Yeah, I was gonna say. Now I wonder if it's good or bad. I don't know what that means.
No. So, this article reads: FTX estate plans to auction for the next lot of locked Solana tokens.
Ooh.
So exciting. Originally, the lot was gonna be sold for a specific price. They decided they're not gonna sell it for a specific price. They'd rather auction it off instead.
Auction it off. Yeah, that sounds exactly. Fun and exciting. I want to host an auction. Auctions seem fun. No, I'm kidding.
So I'm going to read this quick little paragraph for everyone. So during the previous sale, approximately two-thirds of the FTX tokens holdings were sold, generating $2.6 billion for the estate at an average cost of around $60 per token. Considering Solana's current price of approximately $150, the decision to purchase the tokens appears to have been a lucrative one. Nonetheless, the volatile nature of the cryptocurrency industry introduces a possibility of significant price fluctuation before the tokens are unlocked and funds can be liquidated. Continuing here. Despite the risk, there remains the substantial interest in locked Solana tokens. Figure Markets, led by Mike Cagney, intends to establish a special purpose vehicle, SPV, to enable non-US investors and accredited US investors to participate in the auction. This move has been generated praise from Sunoy, I can't read her last name, Kabari, a vocal creditor within the FTX estate.
That's cool. They're going to auction off their Solana. How do you think this will affect the price of Solana?
I mean, people will sell the news on this one just because the tokens are locked for, I think, another 2 years on it. Mm-hmm. So you're not going to get that effect, the selling pressure, for another 2 years. But it does give them an opportunity to maybe buy Sol at a much cheaper price than it is today. What we can't say, though, is what's the price of Sol within 2 years or when the sale date comes.
That's true.
So ideally, if I'm looking to buy this, you're trying to buy it at a price where you think SOL will hopefully not reach again.
Yeah.
Very hard to do because we saw SOL go from $250 to $6 or to $8 basically. And now come back up to $200. So it's kind of like that downways that's almost a 99% drop. Is that out of the market completely? Can that still happen? What's the move here? You know?
Yeah, definitely a risky game. Seeing how you have to wait 2 whole years for
anything. I'm saying 2 whole years because that's one of the ones I did read. This one could be shorter, to be clear.
Oh, I see.
But yeah. That's fun stuff. I found it fun that it was auctioned off.
Yeah, I think the auction part is quite interesting because now, like the last time, people got a crazy good deal. I think it was like $66 that they bought it, and it was like sitting at around $150 at current price at the time of when they did the first sale.
You're annoying.
What?
I just said that.
Oh, okay. And seeing how the auction is it's an auction in this case, price might be different.
It could be more, it could be less.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
It's quite interesting. Quite interesting.
But that's all I got.
I see. Well, that's all I got for this episode. This is good. This is good for the FTX debtors.
Creditors.
That's the word. Because that means FTX estate is going to have more money coming in and therefore help them get their money back.
Well, they're already paid. They're already in full almost.
Oh, they're paid. Okay.
Yeah, pretty much.
Well, if you guys made it this far, you guys are troopers.
Yeah, it's been a rough one, in my opinion.
Absolutely love you guys.
You're appreciated.
First time we do this.
It's the first one. So. Next one will be better. Energy will be better. Alex is a little off right now. I'm not there to really be at him.
Definitely we will be better next time. I could agree with that statement.
I'm going to say it's 100%
better. 100% better. Williams promise. I'll do whatever I can to try to keep his end up. Thank you guys for joining.
It's been another week
of your favorite crypto podcast.
Sometimes Crypto.
The Unscripted
Crypto podcast. Hey, yo.